Hi, I'm Henry Ranga, President of Christian Leaders Ministries, and I want to welcome you to this mini course called Becoming a Man of God. This course would fit you if you wanted to learn more about this topic and be transformed more into a man of God. Maybe you would like to share this topic or share the link to someone else. Maybe you would like to teach this subject, and this will give you a great mini course in order to fill your mind and your thinking about teaching on the subject of becoming a man of God. So let's begin with simple definitions. Well, let's look at becoming a man of God. Each of these words as it relates to our topic. Becoming. We read in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Philippians 3:10-11, I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Becoming. Metamorphosis. In John 3, we hear about being born again, for God so loved the world. And in talking to Nicodemus in John 3, Jesus said, and you must be born again. Now, a lot of people are talking about becoming. The word trans, become something else, is in our world. But in the Bible talks about how we become transformed into who God has made us and God has designed us to be. God wants you to become more and more the man of God that he has for you. He has given you his Holy Spirit. First of all, he became death for us, as we read before, that we might have life. He became the sacrifice that we might be set free from sin and death. So somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. So becoming a man of God is a sanctification process. It is a process empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is a process by which your wife, if you're married, your family, if you have a family, or those around you will see the difference in you. So let's talk about a man. Well, we read about a man from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Male. XY chromosome with male reproductive organs, less brain white matter and more gray matter. So what am I talking about here? Well, quickly, from the Source University of California, Irvine summary. While there is essentially no disparity in general intelligence between the sexes, an UC Irvine study has found significant differences in brain areas where male and female manifest their intelligence. In general, men have approximately 6.5 times the amount of gray matter related to general intelligence than women, and women have nearly 10 times the amount of white matter related to intelligence than men. Gray matter represents information processing centers in the brain, and white matter represents the networking of or connections between these processing centers. This, according to Rex Young, a UNM neurologist and co-author of the study, may help to explain why men tend to excel in tasks requiring more processing like mathematics, while women tend to excel at integrating and assimilating information from distributed gray matter regions in the brain, such as required for language faculty. These two very different neurological pathways and information centers, however, result in equivalent overall performance on broad measures of cognitive ability, such as found on intelligence tests. tests. Wow, did you follow that? I just make one point. There is a difference between male and female, and God created it that way, even in the very beginning when Adam was in the garden and, you know, given something to do. What we see is that God creates a helpmeet and Eve. So Adam and Eve are there, and they're very, very different people. So, becoming a man, but let's look at the word of. Of. What does of mean? In 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." In 2 Timothy 3:17, "So the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." It can mean the man from God or the man on God's team that is God's man. I love that word of. If you study the Bible, especially the New Testament, you'll see the significance of the genitive, that is, man of God. Peace of God. Does it mean peace from God? Does it mean the peace that God has instituted? There's subjective, objective, genitives. And so man of God means a man from God. I mean, God actually has sent you for a reason in this world. You're a man from God. But you're also on God's team. So when someone looks at you, they say, hey, that's a man of God. So when we think about the word of and a man of God, it is a powerful of. So there's one more word, and that is actually of God. The one and only God is revealed in creation, as Romans 1 says. His invisible qualities are everywhere. And in the Bible, we read Genesis 1:26. Then man said, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." In Genesis 28, verse 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." What I love about those two passages together, those are like two great commissions. In Genesis, God said, subdue the earth. And in the book of Matthew, go make disciples of all nations. As if this mandate for our image-bearingness is given to men and women. And in this class, we're going to specifically look at men of God, a man of God. Of you, of me, as we seek to become men of the living God, called for a purpose, to subdue the earth, to reach others for Jesus Christ. So, welcome to this class on becoming a man of God.